Lord Jesus, that You would speak to us and that the words that we hear from Your mouth would ring deep in our hearts. God, that these words would shake us and change us, that we wouldn't just hear them again as we hear so many words every day, but these words of Christ, Lord, would truly move us to the core. And that we would leave this place overwhelmed that You spoke these words and that You spoke them and continue today to speak them by Your Spirit to us. To each one of us. And so, Lord, we wait on You now and we praise You in advance. And we thank You for Your great love and mercy and for the heart of the cross. Amen. Words are powerful, aren't they? Words change our lives many times, don't they? Sometimes it's words that changes the direction of your career. You suddenly have a job that you didn't have before because of words, conversations. Words change our lives when we propose to someone and suddenly we're no longer single. We're married because of words. And right on down the line. And it's especially those words that come from deepest in someone's heart that affect us most, right? Someone has said that a person's real self is best seen when they're drunk or dying. Both times you hear what's really in the heart come out through the mouth, right? Now, I don't think any of you have ever been dying because you're still living, but some of us have probably been drunk and it's not pretty. And you often hear most anything come out of the mouth of someone in that place. They don't have the self-control to hold back what's really inside and what's normally suppressed by just good sense, and it just comes pouring out. But the words that are spoken when someone's dying are without a doubt the most powerful words that they'll ever speak. Those are the words that will be remembered. Those are the words that will end up shaping the lives of the ones who are fortunate enough to be there in those last moments and hear them. Because it's then that what's deepest and most precious and important and pervasive in a person's heart toward those that he or she cares about, it's then that it comes out, because there is no more chances for it to happen. There'll be no more time to say it later. The Bible is an awesome book, and it's amazing that in Scripture, in the Gospels, God gives us the last words of Jesus before He died. He spoke 7 times from the cross as He hung there on the cross. And over the next 5 Sundays leading up to Easter, we're going to consider His words. And if you've ever listened to anyone's dying words, if the last thoughts of spoken by a dying loved one have ever stuck in your heart or in your mind, I trust that together during these next few weeks we'll hear the words of our Savior as He reveals to us the heart of the cross. Jesus speaks from the cross. And this morning we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 23 in just a few minutes, focusing on one phrase. We're actually going to be looking at 2 phrases that both relate to this thing of forgiveness. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." We'll see more about that later. But here's what I want you to take home. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. And it's interesting that the first thing Jesus said from the cross was, "Father, forgive them." I don't think that's coincidental. I think that's divine sovereignty. It's a plan.
Amen.
And the first words that He spoke, the first of His 7 dying words, was that phrase, "Father, forgive them." We've got about a 5-minute video, just excerpt from the Passion of the Christ. It includes the words that we'll be looking at from Scripture in a few minutes, as well as some other statements He made from the cross. And it sets the tone for us to hear the last words of our Savior in these days. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. Brennan Manning said this in his book, The Signature of Jesus. It is only this wounded Jesus who provides the final revelation of God's love. The crucified Christ is not an abstraction, but the ultimate answer to how far love will go. What measure of rejection it will endure. How much selfishness and betrayal it will withstand. The unconditional love of Jesus Christ nailed to the wood does not flinch before our perversity. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, and we want to look this morning at verses 34 to 43. This is what happened just after and during Jesus' crucifixion, just as He was put on the cross and in the moments that followed as He first began to hang there. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for His clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders stopped. "He saved others," they said. "Let Him save Himself. He is really God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked Him too by offering Him a drink of sour wine. They called out to Him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened to the cross above Him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside Him stopped. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, words of forgiveness as well, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. I want you to notice two realities about Jesus' offer of free forgiveness with me this morning. First of all, I want you to see from this text that Jesus offers free forgiveness to the worst of sinners. In verse 34 that we read earlier, Jesus makes the statement, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And as He makes that statement, He's talking to all those there that had a part in the crucifixion. And then later, He says to the thief, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Words that imply and grant forgiveness of that thief's many, many sins. Jesus offers free forgiveness to the worst of sinners. Most biblical scholars also agree that the word here, when it says, "Jesus said, Father, forgive them," it's in the Greek perfect tense, which simply means that Jesus didn't just say it once. He kept on saying it, even as the video kind of implied earlier. He kept on saying to those that had put Him on the cross and continued to mock Him, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." He said it to those Jewish and Roman officials who were responsible for the sentence of their crucifixion, as well as those Roman soldiers that physically drove the nails, having already lashed Him 39 times, taking Him close to the point of death. He said it even to the one who hung on the cross next to Him, deserving crucifixion for whatever crime it might have been. We would assume murder or the like. And even to him, over and over, He said, "Father, forgive them." John Wesley made this comment on these scriptures. Founder of the Methodist Church as we know it today, while they are actually nailing him to the cross, he seems to feel the injury they did to their own souls more than the wounds they gave him. And as it were, to forget his own anguish out of a concern for their salvation. Just stop a minute to think about it. How would you have responded to these people? People who were cutting your life short. He was 33 at the time. You know, I'm thinking curses, not blessings. Right? I'm thinking hatred and anger and fear and all manner of ugly words that would have just spewed from my mouth. That would have been the natural human response of any one of us, wouldn't it? Add to this the fact that Jesus was, in fact, innocent of any crime, any sin at all. And his response is seen for what it is even more clearly. Proof that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. By the way, you see the picture in these slides that I'm using this morning? Do you know what that picture means? It's a picture of Christ holding a guy that's dressed like many of us this morning, just dressed in 21st century clothing, holding a spike in one hand and a nail on the other. This picture means that our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. It means that we might as well have been in the crowd of condemning Jews. It means that we might as well have been those Roman soldiers who drove the nails. It was you, it was me, that crucified Jesus. And to us, to you, to me, Jesus speaks those amazing words, "Father, forgive them." The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all, even to the worst of sinners. What about the thief on the cross next to Jesus? Would we have loved him like Jesus did? He deserved to be there. Crimes against society put him there. He was guilty. He was a bad, bad, bad man. Max Licato talks about him and he says it this way. What was this guy's title? Scum of the earth. His achievement? Death by crucifixion. His reputation? Criminal. His character? Depraved up to the last minute. Until the final hour. Until this last encounter. Until now. Tell me, what has this man done to warrant hell? He's wasted his life. Who is he to beg for forgiveness? According to Scripture, it seems to indicate that earlier in the process, he, along with the other thief, had scoffed at Jesus. What right does he have now to pray this prayer? Do you really want to know? The same right you have to pray yours. You see, that's you and me on the cross. Naked, desolate, hopeless and estranged. That's us. That's us asking, in spite of what I've done, in spite of what you see, is there any way you could remember me when you get home? When you get to your kingdom? As wicked as that man was, he spoke words of faith in this question. He really believed Jesus was the Son of God and that he was going from that cross, from that place, that picture that's so etched in our minds from the video, from that place of death, where it looked like he had no power, he was going to a place where he would be king and forever rule. You see, we don't boast. We don't, as we face the crucified Christ, produce our list of accomplishments. In fact, any sacrifice appears rather silly when placed before God on the cross. It's all more than we deserve. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all, even to the worst of sinners. And here's the message. We'll have more to say about it later. Just a quick word of application at that point. You may be here this morning and you may be thinking, "Chad, you don't know what I've done. God knows. But if you knew what God knows about me, there's no way you would tell me that God still Well, folks, whatever it is, it's no worse than them killing the Son of God. And to those, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. But the second thing I want you to see from this text this morning is that Jesus offers forgiveness to both the hard-hearted and the broken-hearted. Now, that doesn't mean they both get it or receive it. What it means is Jesus offers it to both, to the hard-hearted and the broken-hearted. I want you to hear it from the Scriptures again. It's not going to be on the slides here. Actually, Paul, we can back up to that if you can. That's easy enough to do. Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Go back again. There we go. And here's what was going on. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Those guys were hard-hearted, weren't they? The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed, the Jewish leaders. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself. He's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And they fastened a sign to the cross above him with these words. It was a mockery of him. Do you get that? That sign was a mockery of who he was. This is the king of the Jews. So we've got religious leaders. We've got political people. We've got Roman soldiers all mocking him. And then we've got another criminal hanging there beside him scoffing, saying, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. Those are the hard-hearted people. Those are the ones for whom Christ prayed, Father, forgive them. But then there was a broken-hearted man. The other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. And then with a broken heart, he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, into him. Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus offers forgiveness to the hard-hearted and the broken-hearted. The Jews, the Romans, they had no remorse for what they did. In fact, both groups were glad that they would soon have relief from the turmoil that Jesus had been stirring up with the truth of God, with the love of God. On this dark Friday, they all looked forward to a brighter Monday morning. They were glad that next week's going to be better than the last 3 years have been for us. We're finally getting rid of our problem. Return to normalcy in their respective realms of power and control. And yet, on behalf of them, the hard-hearted, Jesus prays for forgiveness. Father, Father, forgive them. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. Then there's the thief on the cross, a bad man whose heart is broken. Again, Max Licato says this, the core of the gospel in one sentence, the essence of eternity through the mouth of a crook. I am wrong, Jesus is right. I have failed, Jesus has not. I deserve to die, Jesus deserves to live. You see, the thief knew precious little about Christ, but what he did know was precious indeed. He knew that an innocent man was dying an unjust death with no complaint on his lips, and if Jesus can do that, then he might just be who he says he is. And the thief believed that in fact he was. And to this one, a broken-hearted man, someone who understood his standing, who Christ was, and his need for Christ, Jesus grants forgiveness. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. From his book, 6 Hours One Friday, Max Licato writes, How do you live with the things you've done wrong? How do you cope with a guilty conscience over those times that you know you haven't done the right thing? What do you do with your failures? Our mistakes come to us as pebbles, small stones that serve as souvenirs of our stumbles. We carry them in our hands, and soon our hands are full, and so we put them in our pockets, and soon our pockets bulge. We place them in a sack and put it over our shoulder. the load scratches and chaps our skin, and soon the bag of yesterday's failures is so heavy that we have to drag it along behind us. What Jesus' words mean for you and me personally this morning is this. We can quit dragging the weight of our sin, our failures around. Jesus died to cleanse us from every single sin, every single failure. Jesus' death on the cross bought free forgiveness for you, for me, so that we can walk through life with a spring in our step, in the freedom and joy of God's forgiveness. He prayed, Father, forgive them for you and for me. But this truth needs to affect you and me in another way as well. We need to imitate Jesus and have hearts of grace and love and mercy to all that we come in contact with, realizing that anything less is not the heart of the cross. It's not the heart of Jesus. And hear me this morning, it's not the heart of God. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, you want to know the Father? Know me. If you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. And if you, what did we say earlier? It's a man's dying words that reveal the depths of his heart. And while on the cross, what did God have His Son to say? First, Father, forgive them. What does God want you to know about His heart this morning? That He loves you. And that He gave His Son to take care of your sins so that you could be in a relationship with Him forever. There's a lot of things about God that we need to know, aren't there? The Bible's a book full of truth about God, and we need to know all that we can about God. But the one thing we cannot miss, the one thing we can't stop short of, is the fact that God is love, because on the cross, Jesus revealed the heart of the Father when He said, Father, forgive them. Now, you know, we love that when it applies to us, but some of you are already thinking out there, man, Chad, you could go all day without telling me that I need to imitate that. That when I got people in my life, like those soldiers and those Jews, people that, not literally, as far as I know, please call me and we'll get you with the authority if there's anybody wanting to do this to you physically and literally, but with their words and with their aggravation and whatever it is they're treating me like that. You're telling me I'm supposed to love them and even have the heart of Christ to say, Father, forgive them? Yep. Man, we could have gone all day without that, couldn't we? And yet anything less is not the heart of the cross. How can we claim to know the one who hung there without imitating Him and extending the same love that He gave to us to those around us? The same forgiveness. I don't know about you, but this week I had an opportunity to forgive someone who had offended me by doing something that hurt one of my children. Now, you can mess with me a lot, but you mess with my kids and I'm ticked. My bald head gets red. My forehead does this right here. My nostrils flare. And I'm ticked. And over my kids, I might actually hurt somebody. If I could. I know that's a question. But this week I was forced by a direct question from this person that I've been aggravated with many months. I was asked point blank, will you forgive me? I'm just going to be honest with you, it wasn't easy. It's kind of funny that it happened during the week I'm studying this message. But you know what? I was able to respond and say, yes, I forgive you. How can I do anything different? God's forgiven me for so much. That's what I said. God's forgiven me for a lot of bad stuff in my life. And I have no right not to forgive you. Yes, I forgive you. I did go on to say that the consequences remain. Keep your distance from my kid. There's consequences.
But I forgave. You know what? Let me tell you something. That's easy. You say, well, that sounds easy. You have a hard time with it. You know what? Somebody asked me to forgive them. That's easy, isn't it? Somebody knows they did wrong and comes and seeks reconciliation. That's easy. What about the one that never acknowledges a wrong and keeps coming? You understand? There wasn't a mass revival at the foot of the cross that day. Very few hearts changed that day. See one that did in a minute, but most everybody that came mocking and scoffing and say, crucify him. All those that drove the nails and swung the cat of nine tails, they went home feeling good about what they'd done. And they were glad he was dead. And yet for them, he prayed.
Father, forgive them. Who am I to withhold the love and forgiveness that Jesus Himself extended? Who are you to decide that a certain person is just too bad, that they hurt you too much to be deserving of God's grace from Jesus or from you? By the way, one of the Roman officers who commanded the nails to be driven into the hands of Jesus' body and into His feet, according to Scripture, he was the captain of the bunch doing the crucifying. He was changed from a hard-hearted man to a broken-hearted man before this whole deal was over. In Mark chapter 15, verse 39, it's on your handout, it says, when the Roman officer who stood facing him, it's in another gospel, I think it's over in Luke that we find out it's actually the captain of the group there. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, truly, this was the Son of God. There was a revival right there, amen? God changed that man's heart. Is he going out of limb to say, Jesus' grace and love and mercy and words from the cross changed that man's heart? He would have been standing close overseeing the whole deal. He would have heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. And he would have known it applied to him. When he got there that day, he was in charge. In fact, all the way through the process, he carried out the Roman sentence of crucifixion on all three of these guys. But before the day was out, when he witnessed Jesus look to heaven and say, not only, Father, forgive them, but later on, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He understood this was no ordinary man. This was the Son of God. And I personally believe that captain, the Roman officers, knew Jesus from that point on. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all. And as we receive that forgiveness and then extend it to all like He's extended to us, as we extend it to the brokenhearted, but even the hard-hearted. Listen, God can change hard-hearted people through you. Let me go out on a limb and say this. We're in the Lenten season. I don't know if any of you celebrate the Lenten season, give anything up during those 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. I personally don't, but it's a good practice. It's a good time just to be aware of that we're getting close to Easter. It's a good time to review the passion of Christ, the sufferings of Jesus, just to draw you closer to Him. And I have no idea why I mentioned that. Oh boy, that's always great. But God wants to use you. Here we go. God wants to use you. That's God's design for His church, is to use us. What did Jesus say? They'll know you by your what? By your love. You see, God wants to change hard hearts through an unnatural, superhuman, God-given love that loves even the hard-hearted people and prays for them, Father, forgive them.
And you and I will never be more like Jesus than when we pray that for the one who we despise and who's despised us and hurt us the most.
In a lonely cemetery in New York City, there is told of a grave marked by a headstone which contains just one word: forgiven. And you know, at the end of our lives as followers of Christ, that's really all that matters about us. That's really all that we've got to say at the end of our lives.
When we die and stand before God, He's not going to be interested in our resume. He's not going to be interested in our bank account. He's not going to be interested in all of our property holdings. He's going to be interested in one thing. Are you or are you not forgiven? Have you trusted Jesus?
The source of that word begins with our Savior's cry from the cross: Father, forgive them. The only way we can be forgiven is because God is forgiving. The heart of the cross is the offer of free forgiveness to all, to the worst of sinners, to the hard-hearted, and yes, to the broken-hearted. One last word before we go to the Lord's Supper. Don't misunderstand this message. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl who is hard-hearted has God's forgiveness offered to them, extended to them. But it's not automatic. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and in a step of faith and trust in Jesus, that hard heart must go to a broken heart and receive the gift. That's the way it works. We're not talking about something where God just forgives the whole world of their sins, regardless of whether they ever repent and confess their sins and trust Christ. No. What we're saying, though, is even to the hardest of hearts, forgiveness is offered. It's important for us to see that, because folks, listen to me, sometimes I withhold forgiveness from those people. Sometimes you do. And you know what we think? We think there's no way they deserve that forgiveness. And we play God. We decide that they've gone too far. And that even God's grace can't reach them. Who do we think we are? Look at the Roman soldier. Look at Paul, man who tortured the church, killed Christians, and yet God changed him. No one is beyond the reach of the grace of God. Maybe you hear that, you came here this morning thinking that you were too far gone. Maybe you showed up this morning as a last-ditch effort just to give it one final shot. Well, I'm glad you came, because you're not too far gone. Amen. Jesus prays for you, Father, forgive me. And if you'll, with a broken heart, say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want the forgiveness that you say you want to give. Then, friend, He'll give it to you today, just like that. The dying words of Jesus can forever change your life and take you all the way to eternity. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank You for Your Word. How we thank You so much, Lord Jesus, for showing us the heart of the Father by speaking from the cross that simple prayer: Father, forgive them.